This is the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program broadcasting exclusively on RadioFootball.com.
That's one of the shows I listen to.
I've got a. When are they on? Because like
Mondays.
They're on Monday nights.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. I catch them on download, but they're St. Louis boys, just like me.
Because the dude's fun. Like the dude's funny. But yeah, Mondays, that hurts.
Yes, it does.
That's hard to compete, man. That's hard to compete with this group.
Make you
welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. I am Mike, joined by my co-host, Drunkard FTL.
Check me out.
Check you out.
On
Napier
time.
Is on his way. He had a work dinner. Whatever the fuck that means.
Like a Christmas party.
Work dinner. You know, what are you doing socializing with people you work with? That doesn't do nothing but get you in trouble.
Yeah?
I'll tell you what.
Quick story. Hold on a second.
You have a quick story?
No.
Oh, you thought I was going to tell a quick story.
Right, but before you bust into the quick story, didn't you meet your fiancé by fraternizing in the workplace?
Oh, yeah, good point. But at work. But at work, yeah. You nailed me, drunk. You win.
For one time, Mike, no, in his life is speechless.
You 100% just got me. I have no response. I have no way to wiggle out of that. I think the show's over.
All right, we'll see you next week, everybody.
No, I don't mean this week. I mean forever. I don't want to be part of a world where Drunkard STL on the Twitters gets me in a situation I can't get out of. Wow.
Anyway.
Wow. No, quick story. I had a work thing. My boss took us all out to go bowling.
Yeah. So how many is this, like, all of the locations in your St. Louis area?
Mm-hmm.
And you have how many of these?
We're getting a... Okay. Oh, my God. Look who it is.
Holy shit. Is it the Mark Bland? Mark Bland.
The Mark Bland. You are on the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program.
Hello?
Hello.
Did you got to turn the thing up?
I turned the thing up. Where's the Mark Bland?
On the TV so we can
the
hear
Mark
him.
The Mark Bland. Oh, my God. He, like, grayed out. What happened? Where did the Mark Bland go?
Oh, no.
Come back, the Mark Bland.
So anyway, how many locations do you guys have?
A whole bunch. And he took us all out bowling. Okay, the Mark Bland is definitely here now. Are you excited?
Yes. Mark Bland.
Drunk, do you have any idea who it is you were talking to?
I think it's the...
On the Skypes?
Mark Bland.
What the fuck?
You promised me Mark Bland.
What the fuck?
What are you doing,
the
Mike?
Mark Bland. I swear to God I'm not fucking with the Mark Bland. He's going to say I'm fucking with him, but I'm not. He's going to be like, oh, you hung up on me because you don't want me on the show. I do, Mark. I want you on the show, buddy. Oh, my God. The Mark Bland. It's going to work this time. The Mark Bland.
Are you there, Mark Bland? The one and only.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Oh, God, Mike, what are you doing to us?
Jesus fucking Christ. How hard is it to get a goddamn Skype call? V. Mark Blandick. Okay. Grayed out. Ended.
This is all your fault. So, so you went bowling with the work people.
Went bowling with the work people, right?
All 200 locations in St. Louis.
Yeah, all 200 of them. And it was this whole big thing. And, like, the three of... Are you fucking... See, now, like, how many times do I do this? How many times
like
do I...
Like, at least 200.
How many times do I do this?
Do you gotta do the thing with the box? Mark Bland? Are you there? Hello, caller.
Are you fucking
Maybe
kidding
he's
me?
Fucking with us.
Do you think he's fucking with us?
He might be fucking with us.
Mark, are you fucking with us?
Maybe. Good Lord.
Okay, so anyway. see now I'm going to start the story, and he's going to try again.
Yeah.
That's what's
Do you want,
happen.
Like, 2 minutes of dead silence to wait for him to call back?
Just to sit around and wait for the Mark Bland to call
back. Well, I mean, he does command that kind of respect, doesn't he?
Oh, I think he sent me a text message. Are you ready? Well, I tried 4 times. That was his text message. Anyway. Okay, now he's calling again. Are you ready?
Yeah. Caller.
Mark.
Caller, you're on the air. This is comedy gold. We should just do an hour and a half of this.
What do I do?
Are you?
Do I stop answer? Do I ignore the Mark Bland?
Never. You don't ignore.
I mean,
Mark
do I just
Bland.
Keep answering?
Technologically not savvy or something?
No, how technologically savvy do you have to be? You click the green button, and he's supposed to be there.
Yeah,
but then he's not. This isn't me.
So do I don't know.
Anyway,
I'm definitely technologically not savvy. So
so we go
bowling with these 200.
So we go on this bowling trip. And most of the people that I know don't come.
Okay.
They say they're going to come, but then they decide not to.
Per usual, right?
Who the hell wants to fucking, you know, go to the work bowling thing? But I went because I was told I would be the only one that wasn't there.
Right.
So, turns out there was a lot of people that... Okay, so he sent me a text message that said, if you want to talk, call me. But then he called again. Okay, I'm falling for it. I'm clicking the button again.
The
I'm just going
to
keep
Bland.
Doing it. Mark, are you there?
How you doing, buddy?
No.
Hey!
Fucking Mark Bland
I'm
is
here.
On the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. How you doing, buddy?
I am here.
I was going to say, I heard your
I
voice.
Know,
are you gone
you
now?
If you guys can hear me, I'm calling from a car.
You're calling from your automobile?
I'm calling from the Mark Bland's the car.
You know, considering this is in a car, you're on your cellular phone?
I am on my iPhone, yes.
You sound very clear
he
for being
great.
In a car.
He sounds great. Maybe that's just because
that's
he's such a fucking professional.
That's some 3G action.
Right.
Whenever, he's such a professional that it doesn't matter what equipment he's using. He's still gold.
I think he soundproofs his shit. Because whenever I call from my car, it sounds like...
Right.
Yeah, but it took like 12 connections before this worked.
Right.
So Mark Bland.
But all of that is meaningless now, Mark. I'm going to edit all of that out.
Bullshit. This is live on RadioFubar.com.
When are you buying me pancakes, Mark?
What's that, buddy?
When are you buying me pancakes?
First off, is this the drunk?
This is the drunk.
Motherfucking out. Dude, we're going to pancake heaven. You and me, homie.
At Drunkard STL on the Twitters. That's
fucking
me.
Fucking pancake heaven. I tried as hard as I could to get that guy who works with all those D-bags over there at that Indio thing, as well as...
See, that was a diss. That was a diss, drunk.
Mike, I tried to get them with Team Pancake to go... to somewhere for delicious, fluffy... You know what I found out? You're drunkard. You know what I found out the other day?
What's that?
That is absolutely amazing, and you are just going to fucking, like, nut in your pants about this one?
I'm already
you have nutty. Dirt? Is this dirt?
Listen, check this out.
Okay.
Check this out. I went to fucking breakfast at Steak and Shake, and the pancakes were fucking amazing.
At Steak and Shake?
And they start serving them at midnight.
Steak and Shake, dude.
You're shitting me.
I'm not even joking.
I didn't even know Steak and Shake had breakfast.
Bro, they do. They got so much fucking breakfast. It's not fun. Listen, audio clip that. They got so much fucking breakfast.
I used to work overnights at Steak and Shake, and I know how delicious their pancakes are. So I am completely with you, Mark Bland.
You worked at Steak and Shake?
The two best pancake places. I really do believe it's International House of Pancakes.
Mark.
And East Point Steak and Shake.
We've done like 120-something of these, and I am just now finding out Drunkard STL on the Twitters worked at Steak and Shake.
I've worked like
Why have we not got any of those prime Steak and Shake stories? I bet you got some good ones, man.
Those for the
I don't know.
Mark
the Taco Bell stories were better than the Steak and Shake stories, really.
Drunk! You worked at Taco Bell?
Yeah.
Well, are you ready for this? I worked at Jack in a Box, so between the three of them...
Holy fuck, you guys!
Did he work the overnights, or did he work during the day?
I worked day. I worked day shift, but it was beautiful because it was 1993, the year they came out with their, well, at that time, three tacos for a dollar.
Oh,
and literally, I literally started that job the week after they started that promotion for the first time in company history. And I burned the shit out of my fingers at that fryer for like six straight months.
You're not supposed to reach in there and grab. I think they probably have a utensil that you're supposed to use.
They got the way they cook them. They put them on this fucking the slots like you do 10 at a time. And of course, three tacos for a fucking dollar. Everybody and their mom was fucking coming through the place.
Well, 10 at a time isn't very productive if it's three for it. That doesn't eat. Match out.
Well, you can put nine in there. You don't have to use all 10 slots.
But why would you waste a slot?
Like, ever. But anyway, you cook them up, and then you just take them out. You but we were getting so many orders of awesome so many tacos so fast, we literally didn't even have time to take them out of the time to take them out of the oil, of course, but not to take them out of the actual catch. So basically, we left them in the catch. We would just crack them with the tips of our fingers, but we're not wearing gloves or anything. It's fucking 1993. Nothing. There's nothing wrong with the world yet.
I don't believe in glove wearing still to this day, but anyway.
What's that?
Gloves are for pussies.
Gloves are – you get sicker wearing gloves than when you don't wear gloves. Anyway. So you said this was 93, right?
Yeah.
This was back in the day when Jack in the Box tacos were so delicious that you didn't even need teeth to eat them. See, now they got the crunchy ring around the outside. They're not as good.
There, I'll tell you that.
What's that?
That's a whole different level of taco right there, bro.
Well, Mark, I believe when we were on your program, you had some choice words for us for our preference of buttermilk ranch sauce on the tacos. It's, not a fan?
Yeah, it's not buttermilk ranch. It's buttermilk house sauce.
Listen, it's ranch. I have not changed my opinion of that, but I've since lightened my view because I've since tried it, and I can see where there might be some flavor for certain individuals.
But and what's your preference for the taco?
Doing the tacos with the buttermilk.
Right? No, what's your preference?
My personal preference, I like them just straight up. Like, I just regular hot sauce. I don't need anything else. You know, there is a weird one I have tried, and it actually wasn't too bad, was teriyaki sauce.
That's,
it wasn't too bad.
I've heard of it. That's weird.
It is weird. I'm not going to lie that it is weird, dude. Bland it's fucking weird. Guy.
Yeah, well... The other thing that's good on them, but it costs 35 cents.
He goes to Steak and Shake.
The motherfucking sour cream. Put some sour cream on them bitches. Magnifique.
I'm not a big sour cream guy either. See, that's the man, dude, drunk. What is fucking wrong with you, man? You are just trying some fucked up shit.
Okay. You're talking about putting teriyaki sauce on a fucking taco, and I'm fucked up for putting sour cream on it.
You know what? We'll call it even.
All right.
We'll call it even. I got my weird fucking teriyaki thing. You got your weird fucking sour cream shit.
Well, since we're on this whole fast food thing, do you want to get into my fast food bit?
Sure.
I have somewhat of a fast food bit.
Okay.
Macaulay Culkin. Do you remember Macaulay Culkin?
Yeah.
That's a dynamite impression, Drake. Right. You nailed it.
Exactly.
He is now in a Velvet Underground tribute band.
Okay.
That only sings.
Shut your fucking mouth.
Only sings.
Are you kidding me?
Parodies about pizza.
Holy fucking shit! That is horrible.
Someone
needs to take that fucking kid out right now.
Oh, he's loaded. He don't give a shit.
All of the songs are about pizza. I had the song on here, but I got into a conversation on Twitter about what some great band names based on fast food restaurants.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear my list?
Yeah.
I worked on this list. I worked really
hard. I'm sure it's fantastic.
It's really good. So it's band names with food references. Are you ready?
Yep.
Sound Olive Garden.
Yeah.
Sound Olive. Fall Outback Steakhouse Boy.
All right, that one was a little bit better.
Burger Kings of Leon.
Okay. Shitty band. Hey, Napier.
V. Mark Bland's on the Skypes, buddy.
Oh, dear Lord.
Don't make too much noise.
Yeah, don't Napier bomb V. Mark Bland like you
Golden
do.
Earring Corral.
Now I liked that one.
The Mamas and the Papa Johns.
Okay.
Dairy what? Queens of the Stone Age.
Okay.
Where did you get this list?
I made it up, Mark. I'm a genius. He's creative, okay?
He's creative. Drunk. The best part of Drunkard is the fact that he goes and has your back. He's like, he's a genius and creative.
Why are they saying I'm embarrassed for Mike? This list is gold.
Because they're terrible.
Fuck you guys. These are great. Bob Evans Blue.
What the fuck are you talking
about?
Are
you ready for my favorite one? This one I was super proud of. Are you ready?
Yes, please.
Run D MC Donalds.
Run D MC Donalds. Drunk.
So let me ask you a question, Mike.
That's gold, drunk.
How
don't look at me like that, you guys. That's awesome.
How long did you work on that list,
dude?
Mike?
I worked on this list for a long time.
So you remember how you're gonna start like texting me about ideas, and I was gonna tell you if they were garbage or not?
Right.
You didn't text me on this one.
No.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry, but that list, that was so painful. I've got to go.
Mark, that was. Do you guys have any to add? None?
The only thing I have
Mark
to add.
Mark Bland hung up.
Oh, bye, Mark. It was good talking to you.
Bland thought my list sucked so much that he just hung up on it.
That list was so bad, I had a miscarriage of justice.
Justice?
Well,
I guess I'll throw my list away, guys.
I'm just shitting on here.
We are going to do Napier's sexy story time for the ladies.
For the ladies.
I did not want to tease it, just in case.
I hope Mandy's in the room so she can hear my rapey voice.
Just in case Napier, like, didn't get here. But drunk, last week I previously... AFI hop? Oh, that's not bad. AFI hop.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's not
bad
at all.
The Warren Mandarin Buffet is pretty funny, too.
Oh, Warren. Okay. No, isn't it Jimmy Buffett?
Well, there's Warren.
Warren Buffett's, Warren Buffett's the finance guy, isn't he?
All right, fine. Jimmy Mandarin Buffet.
Jimmy Mandarin Buffet. But fuck you guys. That list was awesome. I'm bummed out now. I'm done with D. Mark Bland.
D. Mark Bland saved you. You should have listened to him when he said stop.
Last week I had previously reported drunk that Frozen was finished. However, it was not finished.
Yes, sir.
It opened on Thanksgiving. So this was its end. It made $134 million. At a 74% Metacritic.
Jesus.
99 points.
And last week, I reported that Wolves of Wall Street weren't coming out until after New Year, and it is now coming out.
It's
on
coming
Christmas.
On Christmas Day. Right.
So, boom. This is going to be like the spanking of all spankings.
So, yeah. It went from 69 points, as I previously reported, to 99 points. And speaking of Frozen, did you hear all the hoopla about how...
It's just a cell phone.
People
ringing.
Were upset about Kinky Boots at the Thanksgiving parade because of the cross dressers, and how do they explain it to their children? And it's this whole environment we're creating. I read an article this week about fucking how like the G rating is gone. And, like, nothing is G anymore. Everything's P. Like, that Frozen movie got a PG rating because there was, you know, rude humor. Like, maybe the snowman farted. I don't know.
Probably
like,
farted.
They said that, like, the G is gone just in case any pussy parents have a problem with, you know, somebody dunking somebody on the head or something. And they sent a whole bunch of letters about fucking... This Kinky Boots was in the parade. Do you even know what Kinky Boots is?
No.
I believe it's a Broadway play.
It's a Broadway musical.
Yep.
About?
I think they won some Tony Awards.
About a fella who makes dude shoes. And his business isn't going very well. And he meets some cross-dressing lady, dude, guy, fella, that turns around his business because they start making... ladies' shoes for men, and so like the it's a Broadway musical. It was at the fucking parade. They did a performance, and everybody's freaking out because there was a bunch of dudes dressed up like ladies. And how do you explain that to your kids, Napier? How do you tell your shitty kids?
Look, son,
watching the Thanksgiving parade.
Tell them to fucking live life in the world.
That
one
fellas
day.
Dress up like ladies. How do you do it?
You point at him and say, "Look, son, that's capitalism right there." And you clap.
You say, this
clap.
Is America.
Good job. This
in
is America.
In America, we do what we want.
This is America.
This ain't Iraq. This ain't Afghanistan. This is America.
See that? Some dudes in Iran would behead all those faggots for that. This is a better country.
We could take shots here, because this is America.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of America, since you're so excited.
America!
Do you know what America has invented?
What's that?
Pretty much
the worst product known to man.
Fried butter?
I saved it for you. I have it. Are you ready?
Is it fried sticks of butter?
No.
Hey, somebody got a titty pick? Nice.
Oh, titty picks!
Send us titty picks.
Here. Yeah. Worst product ever invented.
Bubble wrap?
Bubble wrap?
No. Try. That's right. You can't pop the bubbles. They made bubble wrap that you can't pop the bubbles, Napier. Like, the only... Hey, what'd you do? Hey! You found a way!
I find ways for everything.
Where there's a will, there's a way. I was so upset because they made this bubble wrap that you can't pop the bubbles. You squeeze the bubbles and they don't pop.
Well, I did it, so.
Yeah, but I mean, you like did some kind of like crazy huggy thing.
Yeah. How did it work out?
But the person who invented this
needs
to die. We need to find him and we need to tell him no.
You're actually going to go to a man and say...
I'm going to find a man who made the bubble wrap.
And say that the bubble wrap outsmarted you?
This whole chat room is calling you a pussy because you couldn't pop the bubble wrap.
Fuck you guys.
I didn't have a problem with this.
Is this like shit on mic day?
Well, it took me 2 seconds to do something you couldn't figure out in an hour, so...
My restaurant bands? That was great!
Did you hear the...
Yeah, beat? But you need to have...
My bubble wrap bit? Look! Yeah, just squeeze the bubble and they don't pop, Napier.
Okay, give
That's gold.
Okay, give it to me and I'll pop it.
Hey, did you hear the beginning of the show on Mike?
Nope.
Drunk.
So
pop some bubbles.
So at the beginning he's talking about how you're not supposed to fraternize with fucking other employees that you work with.
Why?
I don't know.
I don't have the thunder tonight.
And then I was like, didn't you meet your fiance at work? And that just totally shut him up for like 4 minutes.
I don't have the thunder tonight.
Yeah, Drunk did it in 3 seconds just watching
me. Well, look at that.
Yeah, I didn't even look at the bubble.
Aren't you just the bee's knees? Let's let's fucking rattle through these Ask Dr. Napier questions real quick.
And it's time for...
Oh, titty picks! Titty pick, go!
Ask Dr. Napier. Who's titties on Facebook?
I have no idea whose titties those are.
Aren't you not allowed to post titties on Facebook?
These are private messages.
We're gonna start with Dan. Oh no, I'm sorry. Anonymous's question, not Dan Fernicase. It's anonymous. Dr. Napier. Sometimes, if and when I poop a lot and too frequently, my butthole gets really raw. Like rub burns or something. Sometimes it bleeds. When that happens, I can't wipe properly because it hurts too badly. I'm not the kind of guy that can walk around with a clear conscience having only wiped twice. I can't use the nice quilted style of toilet paper because our sewer can't handle it. The stuff at work is like sandpaper. What do I do? Is it safe to put Neosporin on a butthole? Will that even heal a butthole? Is there some kind of topical cream I can apply to numb the pain? There has to be something like that. Those fellas in the gay porns I don't watch and have never seen just get torn up, and it doesn't look like they even feel it. Some of these fellas have a fucking smile on their faces while they get rammed with a dick as big around as a Campbell's chunky old-fashioned soup can. And talk about veiny. It looks like they have jungle vines twisted around their rock-hard throbbing erections as they plunge deep and hard over and over and over again into what I can only assume is a frothy, gaping, properly numbed-up butthole. Thanks in advance, your friend Dan Fernicase. P.S. Is this why Drunk only wipes twice, so that he has a protective crust over his butthole? Submitted by Anonymous. Okay, so he said P.S., your friend, that wasn't good. That was a very long-winded question, but do you have an answer for the man?
Yes, for the toilet paper that is rough and scratchy like sandpaper, you'll also find that it does absorb very well. So what you'll need to do is, instead of like how you wipe at home, where you get, you know, a good, you know, you get a good swipe. You can't swipe with this toilet paper. You have to like kind of cradle it into your butt snatch and let it absorb the juices.
What's a butt snatch?
Your butt snatch.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You set it in there, kind of give it a good push, you know, let it put in there, give it about, you know, count one, two, and then slowly back off. That way, you know, it's not all, you know, sandpapery. And then you do that a few times, and eventually, you got to take your time on this, but eventually you'll get a pattern down to where your butthole won't get all scratched up.
It sounds like from the original problem happened from overwiping in the first place.
He can put Neosporin on his butthole, like right before he dukes, and then he dukes, and then he can wipe with the Neosporin residue left on his butt, and that'll grease up the toilet paper nice and good.
Yeah.
Quite a few folks in the chat, by the way, just wanted to say thank you for coming on by. Next question from Anchor Babcock. If you became a vampire, would you want to be called Dr. Acula Napier?
That'd be a hard question to ask somebody.
Now tell me that my restaurant thing was better than that question.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Oh. Wait a minute. Who was it by?
Anchor.
Oh, well then no.
Answer the question.
Answer the question.
Dr. Napes biting?
What?
Dr. Napes biting, my vampire name?
Nape, no, he asked if it would be all right if he would call you.
Oh, Dr. I thought he wanted me to make up my own.
Dr. Acula Napier.
Yeah, sure.
Sounds
from
good.
From Matt Leroy, what would cause a man to turn purple?
Seeing a naked lady.
Let me tell you this. This is how I turn purple.
Do you even know how to purple?
Yeah, see.
So how do you purple?
I'm of an English Irish descent.
Yeah.
So I don't tan drunk, well. So I go from pasty white to sunburnt, and then I become this sheen of purple.
Yeah, Bobby got that when we were on the mountain.
White. And then back to pasty white. There's never any tan, ever.
Mike, do you know how to purple?
I do not know how
you
to
should,
purple.
You should learn how to purple.
You should learn how to purple. I can't find my thing. Anyway.
It's because you're stupid.
From unprepared. Travis Hulse. What item would be the easiest to pass off as mystical or cursed? Can you offer a backstory? I want to sell some shit on eBay.
An old burnt stick. Just find an old stick in your backyard, you know, something that's fallen off a tree. Burn the end of it a little bit so that it's nice and charred. And call it, you know, magic.
Magic.
Yeah, it got burnt from the spells.
Magic.
And the wizard ring.
We're not taking a break. And I'm going to tell you why. There's two reasons we're not taking a break. One, there wasn't really a whole hell of a lot going on the first half an hour.
B.
Two. I'm tired of playing the same fucking commercials.
C.
No, that's it.
It's fucking cold outside and I don't need a cigarette.
Look.
And I'm out of cigarette juice.
There's like five commercials that I play, and I've played them all like 20 times. If I'm tired of playing them, I imagine people are tired of hearing them. And believe me, I'm just as guilty as anyone else of being lazy on the goddamn commercials. But that and Halls, I'm talking to you, that J.J. Stoner commercial, with, do you want to know what Jay from Huntington and Panthers fangirls sound like? I'm tired of hearing it. Tired of hearing it.
Sure, Jay, send us in a commercial.
I like J.J. Stoner. Tired of hearing him ask that question.
I'm tired of hearing
it's
Matt
all
Reefer's
about me podcast. I'm just tired of hearing it.
I'm tired of hearing Matt Reefer's commercial for a show he no longer does.
So not playing any more commercials till I get some new ones.
And we probably added Napier Okies too, huh?
Oh, we've been out.
And you know what? Tired of happygoatshirts.com. Tired of that one. And that's one that I got.
Why don't you make your own?
Not doing it anymore. Not doing it.
I'll make you a Happy Goats commercial. And we can send it to every show on Radio Fubar.
Okay. Maybe we just need to like get the ball rolling on this. We need to be the trendsetters.
What better than the celebrity of @drunkardstl on the Twitter?
You can just be the goddamn fucking spokesperson for all shows. Drunk, just name some shows on Radio Fubar that people should listen to.
Well, everybody should listen to
The Lotus Cast.
Yes.
Yeah, The Lotus Cast.
What's that show
which
before
they
us?
Should have a commercial. Unfit for FM should have a goddamn commercial.
The Libertarian.
It's All About Me, they should have a new commercial.
The Libertarian people, what are they called?
The Side Project, the
side
people before
projects,
us that
yes.
you've never listened to because you've never been on time before.
They don't have a commercial right now.
They do. We've played it. Sick of playing it.
Uniformed Ops, is that Radio Football?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. New commercial. Damn it. Time for some new ones.
Yes,
all
sir.
I'm saying. All I'm saying.
So what you're saying is Frank needs to get on the ball.
Yeah.
Why is the wheelbarrow full of dicks just carrying this thing? Is that what you're saying? Sounds like that's what you're saying.
Mike, are your shoulders tired?
My shoulders.
Yeah, lifting all those radios.
If you look at the Radio Fubar commercial page, I made most of them. I did. A lot of them. Well, not most. A lot.
More than half.
All of them. They all were me.
So
I don't think they were all you.
Are you saying that you need a cut?
No.
So therefore I can get my cut?
You know what?
Then maybe come to a podcast on time.
Whoever gets on it, whoever makes a goddamn commercial, I'm going to play it.
You shouldn't be the idea guy.
I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it.
Mike, you can't be the idea guy.
I'm not advertising Dead Men Talking because there are competitors.
Competitors.
Mike.
I'll advertise you guys, though.
So I'm passing out these fucking scripts, and I'm going to tell you about them. Okay?
It's not the Paul Walking Dead,
is
it?
No.
too soon, man. Too soon.
Audiences were thrilled and enchanted by the most recent half a season of The Walking Dead, which recently came to an end.
Wasn't bad.
Haven't seen an episode. Not
Never?
Even one. So, not in the last two seasons, no. I haven't
so
seen.
So I decided we need to capitalize on this. We need to step it up.
Jesus Christ, are you kidding
me?
Oh,
it's long. It's long. However,
are we making a fucking Christmas episode?
What happened was I found a good one. It made the characters seem like teenage girls. They were needy. They were desperate. It was hilarious. However, there wasn't. Like, at the end, it was like the one dude blew the other dude, and then it was over. And, like, you know, you went through, like, 12 pages, and at the end, he sucked the dude's dick, and then it was over. So what I have done is I have compiled two Walking Dead erotic fan fiction stories into one where... No, it isn't spoilers, because I took that part out. If you read the original, the dude got a blowjob. But in this one, oh, it's way better.
So this is 21 pages.
Yes, it is.
And you two chuckleheads can never get through these things. So
No. We're going to get through the whole thing. I will tell you that the last 9 pages, me and you are really just going to kind of say a name over and over again.
I'd really like to place a wager that we're not going to actually complete every single word on every 21 of these pages.
Well,
there's some that are blanked
out.
Yeah,
I took out some stuff that was just a little wordy. And you know, we tend to not.
So let me ask you this before we start.
Drunk, we are dramatic readers.
Is English the first language of this composer?
Yes, yes. Unlike the last one where English is not the first language of... this one is, for the most part, in English, I think.
Am I pink?
Yes, you will be pink. Yep. You are going to be playing the part of Daryl Dixon.
And you're yellow?
Yes, and I will be playing the part of Rick Grimes.
Oh, great.
And of course, as always, Napier will narrate.
So this is going to be some man-on-man action.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, let's do it.
Okay, so I guess just to give you a little clarification, this actually ties into the actual Walking Dead. This opening section takes place when Merle is presumed dead on top of the building. I think that was the first season.
Like, yeah, that was first
they
season.
They went and looked
season
for him.
One, yes.
And then they came back. So Daryl's probably kind of pissed off because he thinks his brother's dead.
This was before he shaved his head, right? Before Rick shaved his head.
Okay, so
who is calling in the middle of sexy story time?
So Lori and Shane,
somebody telling you not to do this.
Lori and Shane are still alive.
We have 45 minutes to read 21 pages.
Time
we better
management
get on it right now.
Time management.
Anybody tell Napier not to add his little side quips then, because that's what starts taking forever.
Okay.
But that's the charm.
The charm? All right. So
Well, maybe it'll be a part one, part two.
Okay. You're right. Maybe it can.
Going to leave out where he comes.
Oh, it was Starry that was gone. All right. Let's go. Let's do it.
Daryl was mourning. Being a deputy sheriff had taught Rick how to understand and read people, and he was reading Daryl. Of course, it wasn't hard to tell that the younger man was incredibly upset. It was painfully obvious on his face and in his eyes. Rick may not have known Marlee.
Merle.
That's not how you spell Merle. And Daryl very well, but he could tell that they were very close. Very close.
I'd appreciate if you'd stop staring at me.
Daryl's voice, thick with emotions that were trying desperately to remain hidden, brought Rick out of his inner musings. His blue eyes met Daryl's glare and blinked.
What?
Growling softly, Daryl rested his pick on his shoulder and glared at him. Rick couldn't help but notice how lost and alone the hunter looked, how young and vulnerable he looked.
God! You deaf? I said, stop staring at me. You're pissing me off.
But Rick couldn't stop staring. That was part of his problem. Daryl was just too beautiful not to look at. In addition to that, for some weird reason, he felt as though he related to Daryl and could understand him and be understood by him more than anybody else. More than Lori, more than Shane even. And the more he thought about it, the more he wanted it, wanted Daryl. A fist to his face snapped him out of his train of thought. Daryl, enraged and seething, and completely erect, was taking his pain and suffering out on the only close thing that was left alive.
I'm sorry. Continue.
Rick! Another fist took aim, but Rick moved out of the way and charged at the younger man. He needed and wanted to explain. But explain what? With what words?
Daryl! Stop, damn it!
The younger man squirmed and fought back. But Rick had hold of him and wasn't going to let go until he was calm. Maybe not ever.
See, now, when I was working on my Rick,
yeah,
all I practiced was Carl! I never practiced Daryl, but I don't even think he says Carl, so I completely wasted all of my time, you know, researching my role.
I'm sure you researched just as much as Drunk did.
Drunk just does the Wolverine voice. He knows what the people want. I'm sorry. Guys, focus. We're still on page one.
No, it's your line anyway.
Okay.
Daryl, I understand what you're going through. I really do.
A snarl escaped the hunter, but his struggling was futile. All he was going was wasting energy, which didn't bother Rick one bit.
Fuck you. You don't know nothing.
Matt has a good line in chat. Rick and Carl erotic fan fiction is off limits.
Good point, sir. Good point. Rick could feel Daryl trembling in his arms. He knew that the younger man was feeling angry and sad and so many other emotions, probably. Rick knew what that was like, and he hated that Daryl was going through the same thing he went through. Blue balls.
I just woke up after being unconscious for a long time. I had no idea the world fell apart, and when I made it home, my family was gone. I thought I had lost them and would never see them again. So I think I do know what you're going through. Now are you gonna calm the fuck down and stop fighting or what?
Daryl continued to try and break free, but he eventually relaxed in Rick's arms. His body slumped, and Rick listened as the younger man's walls broke down. At last! Some progress had been made. Rick just didn't know if that had been a good thing or a bad thing. Why do I feel like he's already penetrating him?
No, not yet. It's coming, though.
Daryl didn't know what to do anymore. Merle had always told him what to do, where to go, how it was. He may not have been the biggest or the best big brother and influence, but Merle had always been all that he had ever had. Everything he had ever learned, he learned from Merle. Hunting. Tracking. Things that shouldn't be mentioned unless behind closed doors and away from nosy pricks. Losing Merle had been very hard. Very hard. It just so happened that Rick, watching him, had been it. He had always been confrontational, not as much as Merle, but he still was, and he had confronted Rick about his staring. Regardless of those facts, Daryl actually kind of liked Rick and enjoyed having those blue eyes on him, watching him. Hell, he even had a feeling that Rick was thinking about him, and he liked that a lot more than he should have. After he went off on the sheriff, all over his back, Daryl finally let the floodgates open, all over his back. It got too much to keep back. Merle was all he had. He was the only one who ever cared about him. Now that was gone. There was no one who gave two shits if a walker got him, or if he caved in and put a gun to his head, or had gay sex with a non-relative. Then Rick started speaking, and his arms were around Daryl's hot, sweaty body. His pink lips were pressed against his ear. Lord, the feel of those lips against his ear made him shiver. That was when he broke down. Daryl didn't even care if he was crying, or if the others had been watching him. For the first time in his life, he felt safe and secure, even if losing Merle was driving him up a freaking wall. Later, after the geeks had been burned and their own buried stupid Chinaman, Rick forced Daryl into his tent before he walked to Lori. Daryl may not have known Rick or Lori very well, or anyone else for that matter, but he couldn't tell that their relationship was no good. She seemed so damn undecided and pushy, and her fling or whatever the hell it was with Shane wasn't going to help Rick out when he found out. And he would. Hell, anyone with eyes could see that the looks those two gave each other. Only a moron would be so blind. Or a pregnant lady. Shit like that had a tendency to come back and bite people in their asses. And Rick? Well, he had just come back from being knocked out in a hospital. Daryl just met the man, but he knew that Rick hated confrontation. Reason and delegation were how he handled things. Daryl thought that was fucking stupid. Sure, Rick may have been a good guy, but no one could avoid confrontation. He had gone into the Viper's Pit when he went looking for Lori. He had no idea where Rick and Lori were, but he could hear them. They were arguing over him by the sound of it. Lori didn't like him. Very few people did. She wanted Rick to come back to their tent with her instead of going to Daryl. After Lord knows how long the shouting stopped, and Rick returned, shock and disbelief spread through him. No one ever gave anything up for him, so why would Rick? When he asked him about it, in his usually rude and snarky way, Rick told him more than he had expected.
Because I care about you. More than I should for some reason. Because I can't and don't want to deal with Lori's anger towards me anymore. Because I don't feel the same for her as I used to. It had been happening before I even got a shot. The only reason I tried to keep calm was because of Carl and the fact that she's the mother of my child. I haven't loved her as a wife for a while now.
Rick's blue eyes locked with his own for a brief moment before he continued.
Then I met you, saw you, spoke to you. Even though you were pissed at me, I don't understand it, but I like you a lot. I want to be near you. I may be scared and I may not know what I'm doing here exactly, but I won't go against my gut is... go against what my gut is telling me. Not on this. We just met and we don't know each other very well. I get that. But if you're willing to give whatever this may or may not be a try, then I am.
Words were out of Daryl's mouth before he had time to think.
It ain't gonna be the reason for your marriage falling apart. Are you kidding me?
My marriage was already falling apart. I already told you. I care about you. A lot. Just let me.
Daryl looked down and thought for a moment before he looked back up at Rick and nodded. He was unsure and scared. He had no idea what kind of clusterfuck he was getting into. Although it takes more than two people to make a clusterfuck. But when Rick's lips pressed against his own, Daryl found it hard to think about anything at all. He may not have understood it, but he got enough of it. And he knew he liked Rick. Not only that, but he felt safe with him, and as though he really did matter to someone besides his brother.
Okay, so I put the next three pages kind of on like a if we wanted to. It's really a whole lot of inner dialogue with Daryl thinking about, you know, whether Rick really likes him or not. Basically, Daryl in this story is a teenage girl.
Yes, I see like that.
He's very and time has passed. This actually takes up what happened was Daryl went out looking for a girl that was missing. And they're on a farm now. And on his way back, he's mistaken for a zombie, and Andrea shoots him. And so they shoot him. They're stitching him up. He was just grazed. And while he's laying in bed, he's thinking about, you know, whether or not Rick likes him. And he talks a lot about how Shane stands too close to Rick and he's jealous.
No.
Do you want to just skip all that?
Yeah.
I just kind of summed it up there. So that,
like I said, skipping pages.
Right.
All right.
Okay. So you see where we're picking up?
Yeah, right there.
Right. Okay, good.
Sighing, Daryl squirmed on his back and turned slightly to his right side, No one aside from the doctor and Maggie had come to see him. After Carol left, there had only been visitors, and he hadn't wanted to see them all anyway. The only person he'd wanted to see was Rick, but he was busy. Through the window, Daryl could see that the sun was setting, and he grunted, glaring at nothing in particular. Why the hell would Rick care about a dumb redneck like Daryl Dixon anyway? For all his pretty words and reason, he ever done anything to prove to Daryl that he cared? Thinking back on it, Daryl really couldn't give an answer. Surviving day to day was the task that they had all accomplished since the world went to hell. That didn't leave a whole lot of time for shit like fucked up relationships. Besides, Carl and Lori still had commanded a lot of Rick's attention. Daryl wasn't going to get in the way of that. Carl was Rick's kid, and he needed his dad. Lori, well, he was Carl's mom, and although their marriage was over, she still needed him. Why and for what, Daryl had no clue. But Lori was so smitten with Shane, then why didn't she take her problems to him? That'd get Shane away from Rick at least, and they'd be fine with Daryl. The door opened. Daryl looked over his shoulder, about to yell at whoever the hell disturbed his peace. He wasn't in the mood to be around nobody, and he wasn't about to hold his tongue regardless of who it was. It just so happened that that person was Rick! And Daryl couldn't help but snap his mouth shut, turn away, feeling embarrassed and pissed. Carol seeing his scars was hard to deal with. Rick seeing them was even worse. Rick would ask about them until Daryl would explode and lash out at him, with all the other grisly details. Scars were his alone, from his past. How and why he got them was nobody's business but his own. Not even Rick was entitled to that information. But Rick, who Daryl knew was looking at him, didn't ask about his scars. Instead, he sat up on the bed and sighed.
Herschel said you were irritable.
Daryl snorted and pulled the blanket closer, trying to hide most of his body.
Did you fall asleep drunk?
It's not highlighted.
Yeah, it's not highlighted.
Oh, did I fuck up?
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
guys. I don't want to see anyone, okay? Stupid fucking pricks.
Rick gave a soft laugh, patted Daryl's leg through the blanket. As hard as he tried, Daryl couldn't help the fact that his heartbeat sped up when Rick touched him, even if the blanket was in the way.
I put your necklace with your stuff. I figured that it wouldn't have been good if anyone else saw it.
Daryl grunted, but didn't say anything. Another sigh. Rick needed to stop fucking sighing. It wasn't making Daryl feel any better. As a matter of fact, he was starting to piss him off. Like he needed to be pissed off. Again! Jesus Christ. We're not going back to that, are we?
No.
Daryl's hand shot out turn, as he felt Rick shift over him. Preparing to leave, he tangled his hand in the man's button-down shirt and pulled him close. He felt Rick's breath puff against his lift before their mouths met again, forceful and desperate. Daryl ripped Rick's shirt off, sliding his hands over the man's bare torso. He wanted this.
See, this is the good part.
Yeah, this is the good part. If he was honest with himself, he'd wanted this for a long time, but he knew how it worked. He was fast and bruising and shed blood because that's how men do it.
It's a good line.
Apparently.
That's how men do it.
With blood and bruising and torn anus linings. Another lesson that got carved into his skin long ago. Daryl wrapped his legs around Rick's wrist, forcing their bodies together. He coaxed Rick's tongue into his mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Giving the man free rein to explore every inch. Rick's hand was warm on Daryl's bare chest. Fingers tracing the lines of a past Daryl. Had worked hard to become more than. The hunter barely suppressed the shudder.
I like when they call him the hunter.
Mm-hmm. He hunts for dick.
The hunter.
Rick broke the kiss, mouthing the line of Daryl's jaw. His hand slid over Daryl's skin, curling around the back of his neck and slipping into his hair, cradling the back of the younger man's head. When Rick sucked at a long, tender spot at Daryl's throat, hard enough to leave a mark, Daryl's breath hitched again, fingers curling to press into the muscles of Rick's back.
Rick.
Daryl caught himself when he felt something like a plea bubble up.
I know, Daryl.
Rick whispered, licking at Daryl's earlobe.
Oh, I'm sorry. I know, Daryl. I was supposed to whisper.
You didn't
I know,
whisper.
I know, Daryl.
He was breathless, and Daryl could feel the heat of Rick's hard cock against his lower stomach.
Did it say hard cock?
That's just yeah. Filthy. That is terribly, morbidly obese.
Okay.
He nearly shook at the knowledge that he was the one to do this to Rick Grimes. Rick's other hand moved down Daryl's body to the front of his pants, close and warm on his skin, so the hunter could trace its path. Daryl almost realized that Rick was doing it deliberately, making sure not to startle him. But then his jeans were open, and Rick's hand was hot on his dick, like a cheetah. Daryl inhaled sharply, arching to Rick's body above him. Rick tapped Daryl's face down towards him and kissed him. Sweet and tender. Daryl's heart stuttered as he waited for the other shoe to drop. Rick's hand began to move, stroking Daryl's cock until the smaller man was shaking with need, clinging to Rick like a lifeline.
Rick.
Jesus Christ, is that all you fuckers say?
Yeah, pretty much the rest of it is just me and Drunk saying, you know, each other's names.
Yeah, he already cut out, like, all of our lines from a couple pages ago, so...
I can't read all this. My voice is gonna die.
And they fuck.
Okay, let's go to where they fuck.
I'm pretty sure they're fucking right now.
No, I mean, like in each other.
So just for a background story for all you listeners out there, Drunk called this at the beginning. We cut out three pages agreeingly.
See, now...
And then Mike's like, oh, well, why don't we slyly skip about seven more
pages? Well, the one had a very
pages.
Sweet story, but like, you know, at the end it was just a blowjob. And I was like, no, I want the good stuff. But, I mean, this is a lot of description.
This is a lot of me talking.
Maybe I just didn't pick a very good one this time, guys.
Do I need to pick one next time?
Okay, so we're moving on.
Okay, so where are we at?
Move on to your side,
he said gently.
I'm fine.
Daryl growled, jaw still painfully tight.
No, you're not.
Rick's voice left no room for argument.
I don't want to hurt you, Daryl.
Why not?
Daryl shot back. Rick looked down at him for a moment, and Daryl saw the unspoken question on his face. Then realization drew in Rick's eyes. Daryl had to look away. He felt Rick move, and warm lips pressed against the scars across his chest. He closed his eyes tight, biting the inside of his cheek against the unwanted upswell of emotion.
What they did to you, It wasn't love, you hear me?
Rick murmured into his ear.
You don't hurt the people you care about.
Daryl suddenly pulled his hands out of Rick's grasp, began pushing at his chest.
Get off me. We're done.
He snarled, vision blurred, angry and scared, lashing out at the one person to ever really, really care about him. Rick's wide hands cupped his face, stilling him instantly. Daryl glared up at him, panting from the effort of fighting back.
If you really don't want this, I'll go. But you need to know that you can't change how I feel. I care about you. Do you get that? You're family. You're part of this group.
Rick just stared into his eyes for a moment in silence. Expression firm. Then he kissed Daryl's forehead slowly before pressing his own against it.
You're not alone anymore.
Daryl's expression fell, eyes closing as he swallowed around the lump in his throat. Rick's hands stroked his skin, too warm up against his face.
Just say the word and I'll go.
Rick whispered. There was a moment of stillness before Daryl lifted his hands. Threading his fingers through the other man's hair, he drew Rick in, kissing him with uncharacteristic softness.
Stay.
Daryl breathed against Rick's lips.
Just please stay.
Daryl opened his eyes, finding Rick's face barely inches from his own.
Don't leave me.
Rick smiled, that tender smile he often turned on his family, and kissed the corner of Daryl's mouth.
I'm here, as long as you want me.
Rick moved from between Daryl's legs, kneeling beside him, and guiding him into his uninjured side with a hand on his sharp hip. Rick laid on his side along Daryl's back, slipping his arm under the smaller man's head and looping it around his shoulders, pulling him flush against the man's body. Without prompting, Daryl drew his top leg towards his chest, allowing Rick to cross his own leg over Daryl's. Man, this is some Kama Sutra shit. What the fuck are they doing? Just stick it in his ass! Stick it in his ass! What are you doing? You don't bend your legs like that. You see, this is why gay people don't have good sex.
Just the logistics of the whole thing?
Yeah. Don't make no sense.
You want me to take over?
Yeah.
Without a word, Rick thrust into the slim body surrounding him, and Daryl bit at his lips. Rick pressed his mouth against curve between Daryl's neck and shoulder, setting a slow pace with his hips. Daryl shifted, freeing the arm he was laying on and reaching down to grasp himself tightly. His mouth fell open in a silent gasp when Rick's cock found the spot within him that made stars bloom in front of his eyes. He involuntarily clenched down on Rick, and the man's hips faltered in their tempo. Daryl whispered, arching back and beginning to stroke himself. Rick pulled him even closer, tilting his own head back and breathing hotly in Daryl's ear. The younger man's grip on his short hair loosened, sliding across the side of Rick's face. The former deputy grasped Daryl's wrist and kissed his palm before entwining their fingers, letting their hands fall to the thin cot mattress.
Daryl?
He panted into the man's ear.
Faster!
Daryl urged and Rick complied. With every push in, Daryl pushed back, grinding his ass against Rick's hips. His hand met the pace of Rick's cock until the older man knocked it away, his own fingers curling around the hunter's throbbing erection.
Daryl inhaled sharply, grasping at Rick's arm, still trapped between himself and the cot, with his now free hand.
Rick! Fuck! Rick!
Daryl moaned, hand tightening around Rick's as heat built in his belly and slid up his spine. Rick leaned over him, kissing at the corner of his mouth until Daryl turned his head and their lips met.
Daryl!
Rick gasped, feeling his own orgasm building, setting his nerves alight. His forehead met Daryl's, and when his eyes opened, the younger man was looking up at him, expression more open than he'd ever seen. Neither looked away as Rick's pace increased slowly, growing more erratic as they both approached the edge.
Rick!
Daryl needed... Nah. Keened?
Needed.
No, keened. K-E-E-N-E-E-D.
I don't know that one.
The hand not grasping Rick's once more twisting in his short hair.
Rick. God. I'm almost there.
Me too!
See, now you're... I think that your Rick is stronger than mine.
I think so.
It's good. Rick groaned, capturing the hunter's lips with his own. When Rick twisted his wrist, rubbing the pad of his thumb across the head of Daryl's cock, the hunter came with a cry that was luckily muffled by Rick's mouth. His entire body spasmed, ass clenching down on Rick and pulling the older man over with him. Rick's hips continued thrusting, though his orgasm moaning into Daryl's mouth. He somehow managed to keep stroking Daryl's cock, even as his mind whited out, too lost in just feeling to think. Rick slowed to a stop as he came back to himself. He released Daryl's spent cock, wiping his hand on the side of the mattress and using it to lift himself off the panting man beneath him. Daryl's head rolled to the side, both of his hands cupped around Rick's. His expression was relaxed, and that made a smile tug at the corners of Rick's mouth. Rick withdrew from Daryl's body slowly. Body. They say body. It should have been, like, asshole, right? He withdrew from...
His man-cunt. Then say man-cunt instead of body.
Rick withdrew from Daryl's man-cunt slowly, gently, then laid down beside him, chest still pressed to his back. After a moment, Daryl moved, grabbing a shirt from the floor and using it to clean them both, because they can just throw it in the wash machine later, because they have wash machines.
Exactly.
They don't just use your shirt, you nasty bastard.
But it looks like a mechanic's oil rag with all the brown mess on it.
I wiped Daryl's poo from my erect member with my shirt and then put it back on. Because seriously, have you ever watched that show? We have one shirt. As soon as Daryl dropped the shirt, Rick's arms were back around him, pulling him in close.
Do you want me to leave?
He whispered against the back of Daryl's neck.
No.
Daryl replied, one hand closing around Rick's wrist.
Stay.
Rick reached down and pulled the blankets up over them. He kissed Daryl's temple, then laid back, threading his fingers in the hunter's again. Daryl drew their joined hands up to his mouth, pressing the back of Rick's hand against his lips.
Well, that was fun. The end.
That hurt my throat.
I know, that was a lot. Maybe we should... Maybe we shouldn't do that anymore.
Maybe we should not do so long.
You know, the first one we did was 2 pages. 2 pages. Everything else
well,
you
that
get...
was the fuck letter that I got from the gal.
Yeah, and it was 2 pages long, and it was perfect.
And then we did Iron Man. Iron Man was fun because he...
Iron Man was five pages.
He requested cheeseburgers.
Good Iron times. Man was 5 pages. You've now, what, over doubled the amount?
Well, quadrupled. That was 21
well, the
pages.
The RoboCop one, that was gold.
The RoboCop one... was probably what?
And the Wolverine
10 or 11?
One was pretty long,
the
too.
The Wolverine was kind of long, but it was good.
Yeah, but this one wasn't good.
No, it wasn't. I wasn't impressed with that.
I mean, it wasn't dirty enough.
No.
It needed to get real dirty, like
maybe you should
like
write
filthy.
One yourself.
And you know what? It wasn't particularly funny either. It wasn't bad enough, is what it is. I mean, like, it wasn't good.
You should have let me play Rick, and I could have done the goofy Ernest P. Worrell voice.
Maybe they have Ernest P. Worrell erotic fan fiction.
Ew.
So I should just apologize for this entire episode.
Yeah.
I fucked it up.
Maybe you
First
should,
of all, you I, couldn't get Mark Bland on the phone.
I couldn't get Mark Bland on the
you
phone.
You didn't realize that you met your significant other at a job.
My band restaurants were stupid.
Yeah.
You couldn't figure out how to pop bubble wrap.
I couldn't figure out how to pop bubble wrap.
You chose Fan Funk Fiction. That was too long. Way to go, you.
You know what you should do? Find your old lady friends on Facebook and have them write you erotic fan fiction. And then we'll read it.
So after this is all done, you're like, so that show was shit tonight. I'll be like, yeah, way to go, Mike.
Right.
You know, or we'll just shrug at you.
I was thinking about it earlier. I was thinking, like, I think that we do a show that, like, we think is funny. Like, I have fun doing this show, and I really do it because, like, it's fun for us to do.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, you know, like, with a lot of things, like, there's humor that, like, people may take two different ways. I mean, like...
Like all those diabetes jokes.
Well, no, I mean, like fucking... You watch, like, The Simpsons. I'm just... The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And, like, some people probably watch The Simpsons and, like, get a kick out of just, like, you know, certain things that they understand. And then other people, like, catch more subtle things and think that's funny. Like, people are entertained by something for, like, two totally different reasons.
Well, you got, like, eight people here that think we're funny.
Well, no, not necessarily. But what I'm saying is, like, if you don't get it, that's okay.
Just listen again.
Or don't. Or don't. I don't give a fuck.
Sometimes things, like, are funnier the second time
and
around.
I mean, like, drunk, I think me and you had the conversation last night as you were leaving, and I said that, like, I want people to listen.
Yeah.
I want people to hear what we do and enjoy it.
Amen.
But I don't want to do a show for people to enjoy.
Correct.
So
I'm
you
going
want...
to do what I want to do, and I'm going to hope you think that's funny.
Okay, so let me get this straight. Number one, you want everybody to like it.
No, I do. I want everybody
okay.
No,
I'm
okay.
You want everybody to like it.
Right.
You don't want to do any real work.
No, I do.
I meant, like, you know, putting 14 to 15 hours into one show.
No.
Okay. And you don't want anybody to criticize you.
No, you can criticize me. I'll probably tell you to go fuck yourself. But
So you don't want anybody to criticize me?
We criticize him every episode. What are you talking about?
No, that's a part of the show. That's written in.
Oh, those
in.
Are bits.
Right,
those
yeah, bits. Yeah.
It's all scripted. I forgot. Mm-hmm.
And
behind the curtain.
Four, you want people in your chat room.
Right. But I want them to be here because they dig the stuff we do. I don't want to do stuff
I was gonna ask
for
you.
People to dig it. Does that make sense?
How much do you pay these people to be in the chat room?
I don't. They come on their own free will because I promised them gold.
And free t-shirts?
Yes. And
wow, t-shirts are an amazing thing.
So we're running short on time.
Speaking of that, are you getting me a T-shirt for Christmas?
Yes, absolutely. Didn't I already give you a T-shirt? Yeah.
Can we give Diabetes a T-shirt, or do you think it'll get stuck in his hover round?
What's with you and Diabetes?
I want the one that says Paul and Drunk and Mike and Napier.
And it's got the picture of the donkeys that you never drew.
Anchor's just hanging out so that he wins the pot. Oh, did you do your podcast SmackDown challenge?
Absolutely.
You did?
Not. I don't even remember who it is, man.
Guys.
Terrible memory.
Dude, coming up on 9:30, our good friends Yumskis are coming up. And then after that.
They're outstanding friends. We communicate all the time.
After that, stay tuned for the Podtron.
There's a show every Yumsky.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Late Late Show. See you in hell, faggots.
want you to know it's over.
Well. Bye.
Hey, it's Napier. Join us Mondays, 9-8 Central on RadioFubar.com. Join to chat or download the TuneIn app for smartphones and listen to it that way. Download our show on Stitcher, iTunes, Zune, whatever the fuck you want. No, they don't make Zunes. Or from RadioFubar.com. Rate us on iTunes or Stitcher or fucking Facebook. By the way, you can follow us on Facebook.com/WFODicks, on Twitter at WFODicks, or you can follow us around on one of our mini channels at Shoza, at PJKSTL, at DrunkardSTL, or you can do shit that other people put up for me on Twitter at Napierisms. Listen to other shows on Radio Fubar because we're not dicks about it. And then buy a shirt. See you in hell.
So, Jay Edson just had the sweetest reference in the chat right here. He compared me and Napier to Statler and Waldorf. And for those who don't know, Statler and Waldorf are those two Muppets in the back in the balcony that heckle everybody.
Right. The two guys that aren't on the show.
The
but
correct.
Are on the show.
The two curmudgeons.
The two guys that contribute nothing. And just shit on everything. Yes.
And yet they're the most popular too.
Exactly.
Wow, Jay Adson. That is a great reference.
Best reference I've ever heard.
Great reference. I like it. I like how you imply. Well, you know what he's implying.
Yeah. We don't do anything, we just criticize.
Right.
That's what we're here for.
You just show up and you shit on my cornflakes, is what you do. You shit on my goddamn cornflakes.
Hey, Mike.
You know what? I think that you're among the people that don't get it. I think you guys, as two-thirds of the show, don't get it.
You know what I think? I think you should be a janitor. That way you can clean up your shit performance on the show. Ba-ding!
I have a lot on my mind, guys.
But you don't put a lot on the paper, and things that you do, we don't really even get to.
Right. We didn't get to most of the stuff on the list.
What happened to last week's list? We just blew through like 9/10 of it, and like
I don't know. I really wanted to expand on the Macaulay Culkin thing. I thought that was great.
What
thing?
It looks like you got about 7 things there.
Well, I wasn't here at the beginning.
We got time for one.
One guy showed up 25 minutes late.
Wasn't me this time.
And one guy showed up like 7 minutes late.
No, I was here right on time.
I mean, maybe if somebody showed up like maybe 5 minutes before the show so we could like run through things, maybe the show would be better.
Last week I brought you tacos.
That's part of the whole allure of the show.
Actually, no, you did not bring me tacos.
Oh, you brought me
Rabbit Poundings brought me tacos last week.
And they were good.
They were.
They're delicious.
Guys.
Did you get a 12-pack from Taco Bell?
I have not told Napier or Drunk of what's happening tonight.
You're going to have a baby.
No. There will be a special presentation called the Podtron.
You said something about Podtron.
Podtron.
What's a Podtron?
Well, you'll find out in an hour.
I don't want to find out in an hour. Why do I...
1 hour from now.
Why am I employed here if you can't even tell me what's going on in an hour?
So we're like prime time, then Yumsky's like Jay Leno, and then he's like Jimmy Fallon.
Podtron.
Podtron.